Monster Mania Radio. It's the dynamic duo.
There you go. It's Rob and Dave.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. Hey, welcome everyone. We hope that
Where's
you guys
Alfred?
Where is Alfred?
Well, I'd like to know where Alfred is.
Well, Yogi.
I need some cleaning up around here.
Yogi can be Alfred. We hope everyone's having a great December already. It's the holiday season. Lots of stuff going on. But more importantly, Dave, lots of stuff going on with Monster Mania.
Yeah, we had a banner week this past week. I got to say, we've added Michael Rooker to the March show for the Walking Dead reunion.
That's March
thing that we have
8th
going on
through the 10th. Tickets are on sale right now.
And for us, we came out of the box. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I told you I was working on a non-horror reunion. And, you know, if I could pull it off, I was going to be really happy. Well, we did pull it off. It's for the September show in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And we've got the original 1966 Batman reunion. And I am thrilled to death. I was one of the kids that, you know, I was 7 years old in 66, so you can do the math. I was glued to the television set. And, you know, just to be able to put this together, for me personally, it's like one of those moments, like, I'm sure you had one today with the release of when you got your No Clowning Around video back in. I mean, there's moments that in your lifetime that just, you know, take your breath away sort of thing.
It's a standout moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I take the stage to do the Q&A session with the cast of the 1966 Batman series, I'm going to be blown away. It's mm-hmm. going to be one of those moments for me. Absolutely. I was one of the kids that was avidly watching that show. Used to be, initially when it came out, it was twice a week, back to back. I think it was like Wednesday and Thursday night. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am. We have Adam West, Burt Ward, Lee Merriweather, who was Catwoman in the movie.
And Yvonne Craig.
Yvonne Craig, which she's basically more or less retired from doing conventions, but I was able to talk to her and her sister and was very, very, very happy to say that she's been added to the show. And I'm basically trying to get all of the major players that are still alive from the series at the convention. So mm-hmm. there's a couple that we haven't added on yet that I'm working on.
Holy sardine!
Excellent. I think I know that these guests, I don't want to say anything, but you know, people would say like, well, they're not horror related.
Yeah.
Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah.
Just to kind of, you know, make it so that people understand that it's not just, I mean, Monster Mania is a horror convention, but at the same time, it's a convention celebrating what we love.
Right. And it's, you know, I get this every time I add a non-horror guest. Mm-hmm. You know, last year was this current year was the guys from Slapshot. You know, I heard some stuff about that. I'm sure, you know, there was a couple posts that were, you know, oh, you know, this isn't horror. Well, technically, you know, Adam West was in Tales from the Crypt and he was in Rod Serling's Night Gallery. So, I mean, if you're using that as the criteria, whether they can attend a show or not, I mean, he meets that criteria. But, you know, I mean, I try to bring in people that are of interest to a good portion of the fans that attend the show. Mm-hmm. I've already, the response to the Batman reunion has been phenomenal. I mean, 98% of it has just been, I've got people wanting to fly in from Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. you know, to come down to the show. And this is just the first four or five guests that we've announced for that. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole lot more in store, you know. And we're looking to add things to the Baltimore show. For instance, we're going to do the Yorkie auction down mm-hmm. in Baltimore. I mean, I was looking through the pictures of Yvonne Craig to add to the website, and I came across this picture of Batgirl holding a Yorkie.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow, like that's just, you know, it's just an automatic tie-in. Then when I got talking to her sister, I found out that the dog's name was Sebastian, and it was her dog. And her mom used to raise Yorkies.
Oh,
so,
great.
I mean, it just, you know, it's synchronicity almost. Like, mm-hmm. it all comes full circle. So, I mean, I've been wanting to add the Yorkie auction to Baltimore. So, you know, this year we're going to do it. We're also going to add a costume contest. It just makes sense with all the, you know, the Batman characters that we have, Catwoman, Batman, Robin, Batgirl. You know, it just makes sense, you know, to have a costume contest because people are going to want to come, you know, dressed, you know, in costume for that. And with the horror guests that we had, they'll want to do costumes for those too. So
yeah, we don't usually typically see a lot of superhero costumes. So I am actually kind of curious as to what we see.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think it'll be a good mix. And thank you to everyone that received it so well. I mean, I was blown away by the response. You know, for the most part, the response was just more than I had hoped for.
And I think more importantly, you know, people talk about timing, that, you know, that show's not until, you know, towards the end of next year in September. But as a promoter, you have to take it when you get it.
Oh,
do you
absolutely
understand what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's, you have to, you can't just say, well, I'll announce it in 6 months, because people are going to make plans. So if the opportunity comes up, this allows them to make plans. It's not like you're putting off March or August. It's just that timing worked out perfect for that convention.
Right. I mean, to me, that's common sense. I mean, if one of the things I had feared with doing shows, one show in March, one show in August, one show in September, is I was kind of afraid that the August and September shows got lost in each other a little bit, you know, and I wanted to, and it's two different areas, you know. It's, although I'm doing the March show in Cherry Hill, I mean, there are some people that just go to the Cherry Hill show. There's some people that just go to the Hunt Valley show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first show next year in Cherry Hill is March, so I'm announcing guests for that. The first show in Baltimore in Hunt Valley next year is the September one. It's the only one we're doing next year there. So, you know, I want to give the people that only come to that show, I want to give them a heads up of what we're doing too. I
mean, right.
You know, and like you said, the opportunity arose. I've had Adam West already in the Cherry Hill show. I just thought it would be a great addition for our Hunt Valley show.
And I think what's important, what people, there are some people that are from this area, from the Cherry Hill or from the Pennsylvania area, that don't make the trip, that are always saying, hey, can you bring that person back to Cherry Hill instead of Baltimore? But let's be honest, it's like a 90-minute, what is it, a 90-minute?
It's, and this is the God's honest truth, on a Saturday afternoon, my son and I drove down. Well, we've driven down numerous times, but we timed it the last time. It was less than 90 minutes. And yeah, we stopped at Roy Rogers and got a roast beef and cheese sandwich. So, I mean, there's one on the turnpike on the way down, which is both of our guilty pleasures, both my sons and I. We love Roy Rogers. So any excuse we get to stop there, we do. But, I mean, we made the trip from the Cherry Hill Hotel to the Baltimore Hotel, the Hunt Valley Hotel, in 90 minutes, stopping at the rest stop and getting something to eat. We ate quickly, 5-10 minutes, but I mean, it's that quick of a ride.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I used to go to shows all over the place. I used to go up to New York. I used to go down to Baltimore. I used to go to Pittsburgh, still do. I mean, if the convention, if you like the way the convention is run and you like the stars at the convention, man, I drive 90 minutes to go places I don't even want to go to.
Right.
You know, to go to a convention for a 90-minute drive is, that's, you know, that's a no-brainer for me.
And,
but I enjoy the conventions that much. I mean,
yeah.
I love the atmosphere. I always did.
And let's be honest, if you had a convention that was basically a carbon copy of Cherry Hill or Baltimore, why would people go anyway? Like, there has to be a little bit of, people have to make the move to go down there. I mean,
right.
You know, you're never going to duplicate that.
No, and honestly, I wouldn't want to. You know what I mean? It's part of the fun for me, and I've described this before to other people. It's almost like I'm painting a picture with a convention.
Right.
With each convention is its own entity. I'm not looking to paint, you know, the Mona Lisa 14 different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's just it's not a rock concert tour where, you know, 15 minutes into the set, the same band is playing the same song and hitting the same note at the same time. It's not about that. Each one has to have its own personality. At least that's the way I look at it when I'm putting it together. I would be bored if I did the same show in three different
places.
With
the same guests.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what's the point? You know?
There is no point, I agree.
I mean, creatively, there's no point to it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure, I want to, there are fans that go to every show we have, whether it's in Hunt Valley or, you know, the March show in Cherry Hill, then they go to the August show in Cherry Hill, and then they go to Hunt Valley.
Yeah.
I want to give that fan three different shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Holy Merlin the Magician!
Yeah, I agree with that. Hey, don't forget, It's the 10th anniversary season for Monster Mania, so it's going to be Monster Mania 25 is March 8th through the 10th in Cherry Hill. The next one would be August 16th through the 18th in Cherry Hill, and then we're down in Hunt Valley for the 27th through the 29th of September for the wrap-up of Monster Mania for the season. Hey, let me talk to you about something.
Uh-oh.
So, you know how I always am promoting people to, hey, go on iTunes and, you know, give us a good review.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm going to tell people the honest to God's truth. You and myself, we talk on a daily basis. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And in all honesty, the background for people, you had been actually a vendor at the show, right?
I've been to Monster Mania since number two, in either as a guest, as a dealer, or even as just a typical fan.
Okay.
I've been to all of them, except for one.
Ken Sykes, the chief of staff for our staff, took me to a wrestling show. He's a big wrestling fan. And you were managing Steve Corino in this match. And mm-hmm. And I am not kissing your ass when I tell you that, that by far, at the matches for that day, it was like the only professional TV-style match, you know, TV like from the Grand Wizard days and Lou Albano in his heyday mm-hmm. kind of stuff. You guys blew me away. And I got talking to you. I said, oh, you know. We had met, I forget who came to who or whatever, but we met, we talked briefly, mm-hmm. and it always stuck out in my mind. I admired what you did. I got what you were doing. It was the most entertaining thing of the day. And then after your match was over, the rest of the matches went the way the matches before yours did.
We are the highlight.
When I decided to do the podcast, I wanted to get the podcast, and I knew that you were doing podcasts, it was like a no-brainer to come to you. I mean, we really, when we started this, I mean, we knew each other to see and we talked, but I mean, mm-hmm. I think we probably we're getting to know each other mm-hmm. week to week, you know, as,
right.
You know, the shows are solidifying a friendship, really,
right.
You know, I mean, that's the way
I totally agree. I mean, you, right after that show is when you came to me and said, hey, you know, would you, it was in Hunt Valley in the first night. You had said, would you mind hosting a Q&A with Robert Englund?
Right.
And I mean, what am I going to say? No? So right. I was like, oh my God, yes. You know, and I had, and then the following year you had said, hey, in Hunt Valley, I want you to run them all. And it just kind of steamrolled from there. And I think the Hunt Valley Q&As are the best, but.
Where are you wrong?
So what I want to talk about is that someone had left a negative review on iTunes. And I'm not really a review guy, but it was like, you know, would be better if I wasn't kissing your butt. But I don't think, I mean, if we disagree, we're going to disagree. If we agree, I mean, it's not benefiting me to kiss your butt in any
right.
way. Like,
no, and actually, if you remember, when you told me that this was the review, first of all, I haven't seen that review, but I ask people constantly, even with going back to the Batman reunion we're having in September, I want to do a VIP for it, but I want a good VIP for it. Like, I want a good mixture. I want the price to be reasonable, and I want you to get something unique with it, you uh-huh. know? So I asked people on Facebook, you know, what would you like in a VIP? Like, and we do that when we ask people to rate us and, you know, give us suggestions or ask us questions. Or whatever. We want to make the show better. Like, if we're not talking about what you want us to talk about, you know, let us know if there's a topic you'd like us to cover, if there's a new facet to the show that we don't have, like we do the horror news, maybe there's something else people would like us to do or would like to hear from us. Let us know. A comment like that is just a negative person mm-hmm. trying to rain on the parade.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I knew it had affected you, I could tell, you know, to a degree that, you know, when you had told me about it. And I'm like, dude, I get this all the time. You know, like, welcome to my world, sadly, whether it's shows that feel like to be a competitor, they have to take other people down. Like, it's just, it's, you know, or if it's just people that, you know, when we announced Adam West, you know, somebody says, oh, it's not horror. Oh, he's a jerk. Or, you know, every time we announce a guest, within the first 15 comments, somebody's got something negative to say. And mm-hmm. it used to upset me, but now I just wait to see who that guy's going to be, mm-hmm. you know? So when you told me about this review, I mean, what did they expect us to do? not like each other? Like, are you, are we supposed to fight on the...
I mean, I'll be honest. Right now it's on break. I was doing the Exorcy podcast with Steve Carino, and our shtick, if you will, was insult banter. It was like insult comedy back and forth, if you want to call it comedy. But it's honestly how we control, like how we are in real life. Like, I wrote about it the other day, like on robdimension.com, you go there, your opinion and you, and you know, we'll wish each other death all day on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
All day.
But it's fun to read.
And it's not real. Like, no, you're in on the joke.
Right. And knowing you guys, it's funny to see who gets the better, you know, who gets the better shot.
We're 50-50. We go at it.
Steve
But I mean, so for Christmas, if you're looking to get me anything,
oh boy,
go on iTunes and give me a good review.
Well, if you're looking to get me anything, I'm looking for Creepy Archives number 4, because I only have 1, 2, and I've got 5 coming. And I'm not sure if I have 3, but 3 or 4 I would take. Just kidding.
You're not just kidding.
No, I'll be checking my mail every day.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. So I went today and I picked up my horror drama short.
Oh, that secret.
No Clowning Around. Now, I sent it out today to be duplicated, and I'll get a little bit into that about the ordeal that it takes. It's not easy to get something packaged and put in people's hands, but I brought over a copy, and I was like, hey, let's watch this before we podcast, and I want to get your opinion. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Next week, Julie Newmar springs back as the Catwoman.
Singing is contagious. I'll sing, too.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
Okay, guys, we're back for Monster Mania Radio. And hey, so today I went to grab the final cut of my horror short, No Clowning Around. You go to noclowningaround.com. And pre-order the VHS or the DVD.
My goodness.
Whatever.
Can I take this shirt off now? My God.
Who doesn't love the Mumble shirt?
And what's with all the bumper stickers all over my front door?
I'm leaving my mark. God. So, I mean, I'll include people. You know, Sandy had kind of killed us in post for like 3 weeks because the guy that's editing, Matt.
Oh, you mean the storm, Sandy?
Yeah.
I thought you meant somebody tried to kill you.
No.
They saw it and they were like...
So what had happened was I went and picked up the final cut today and I stayed home and I watched it and I'll talk about my reaction in a minute. But then I let you watch it tonight.
Yeah.
And it's a 30-minute movie.
Is it 30 minutes?
30 minutes. Didn't feel like it, right?
I can't get it back. Yeah.
Oh! Wow! That was a
30
zinger.
Minutes and I can't get back.
That was rough. You can write all the negatives you want about Dave on iTunes.
Stunt kissing my butt.
So, but honestly, like, what did you think?
I thought it was really good, man. And I'm not just saying this. we're beating that one to death already. But, I was really impressed with the whole total package of it. I thought it was... I thought the video was it didn't look... first of all, I'm not a fan of too much independent horror. I just... Not that I don't appreciate what people do and not that, you know, I don't support it, you know, in you know, ways that I can. I'm just not a fan of it. Like, it's not something I would go out and buy. It's just, you know, it never has been something that has really interested me all that much, to be honest. So therefore, I haven't seen a lot of it. So having seen yours, like, I was really impressed with the professional quality of, you know, the different things in it. I know you as you. I've never seen you act before. I think you did a hell of a job, dude.
Hey, thanks.
Really, seriously.
Thank you.
That's $5.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, I'm getting this up to 30 before. The clarity of the picture, I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, I mean, it looked really, really clear.
We put like a filter on it to give it like a 70s look. Like,
Grindhouse scratchy film type of thing. But what really impressed me was the the soundtrack to it. I mean, you said it was
all original
music, and it really fits in with what's on the screen, and it's the mix, the sound mix is really good. Like independent films I have seen, I always loved music. I'm really into, when we first started doing Monster Mania, I wanted the film room to sound good. I had gone to other conventions where it just sounded like crap. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'd show a movie and it just sounded like crap. So, So I didn't want to present an unprofessional film viewing experience mm-hmm. to fans that came to Monster Mania. I mean, we spend a lot of money for the quality of the screen and the sound mm-hmm. and all that we do, because that's what I want. I mean, that's what I want to present. And a lot of independent films that I've seen, I'm always disappointed because the mix is bad, or sometimes the music drowns out the words, or the words are too high up in the mix, like the voice track is too high up in the mix mm-hmm. over the music, or vice versa, or there's no music, or it just all sounds like everybody's talking through a tin can with a blanket over it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with it's professional in every way, man. It's really well written. It's well acted. It's, the camera work is good. The sound is good. I think, if you enter this into some competitions, you're going to come out with a prize.
I appreciate that. We had talked earlier, just last segment, about opinions and accomplishments, about how sometimes people like to be negative. Well, I'm going to give you my positive, that I created this for me. That was it. Like, it was part of my, I went through a rough patch in my life and I wanted to write this, and it kind of like is all metaphors and stuff for my life. And when I watched it today, it was kind of like a relief. And I sat on my couch and I had tears rolling down my face because I felt like I accomplished. I felt like I accomplished something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
dude, I know exactly what you're saying. Every show is that to me. You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm not just saying this, man. I mean, it is like every show that we do it's a little piece of your life. And if you're good at what you do, and if you care about what you do, then you feel that way about it. I mean, I knew, and I was going to tweet this, but you came here before I got a chance to. Today's a very, it's a monumental day in your life.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is. And I know what you're feeling. I mean, and no matter what negatives people will say, because they're going to say them, mm-hmm. there's always going to be somebody. Like I said, when I make a guest announcement, somewhere in the first 15, somebody's got to point out that it's not a horror guest, or the guy's a jerk, or their autograph price is going to be too high, or, oh, I just met them someplace else and they were rude, or, whatever it is. Those people are out there, and negativity is out there, and you've got to realize that. And unfortunately, releasing this movie will make you realize it even more, probably. But just as there's that one person that says it within the first 15, the other 14 are very complimentary, mm-hmm. appreciative, like it, say positive things. So, even though the one negative might stick with you more than the positives, you just got to put it in perspective, and you got to realize that people, the number one thing that you can do is believe in yourself. And I've said it in previous podcasts, the number one thing you can do is believe in yourself, and don't let anyone ever shake that. And, as long as you can hold on to that, like you said, you made this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Every convention I do for myself. They can criticize that we had the Slapshot guys. I don't care. I wanted to meet the Slapshot guys, mm-hmm. and so did a lot of other people. They can criticize that we had Carl Weathers. That was a gift for my son, to be totally honest with you, just mm-hmm. as the Slapshot was kind of a gift from both myself and my oldest son. You do things because it's what your heart and soul tells you to do. And if you follow that, how can you lose? What I mean? If nobody buys this movie, it does not change the fact that you made this movie, that it's a good movie, and that you've accomplished something that you set out to do, when so many other people out there either won't take the time or the effort or the risk or the emotional involvement or the financial involvement or any of those other things to do something like this. So if they're not willing to do something like that and put themselves at risk, if they're going to go out of their way to criticize you or to put negativity onto you, you just got to let it go. Because ultimately, you did do it for yourself. And it's an achievement. And no matter what, no one can take that from you. No one will ever take from me that I came into the Cherry Hill area and did Monster Mania when there wasn't any kind of a convention like that in the area at all. In fact, now there's like a plethora of horror conventions that are, you know, similarly based, but back when we were doing it, you know, Chiller was its own kind of thing. Monster Bash was its own kind of thing. Horror Find was its own kind of thing. Fan X was, and we were. You know what I mean? And no one, to my dying day, no one will ever take from me that my son and I, driving back 7 hours from Pittsburgh, kicked around an idea that became Monster Mania. You know, like it's part of your soul, and just as this movie's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it already is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you.
And anything I can do to help you.
You're not just kissing my ass, are you?
No.
Speaking of...
But
of,
I do expect
speaking
payment.
Speaking of appreciation of film, I want to talk about this briefly. This weekend, I went and saw Life of Pi, which is based on a book.
Pumpkin or Lemon Meringue?
It was... it's based...
Dude, you realize now, last week you confessed to seeing...
Twilight
movie.
I know.
I gotta start going to the movies so that when I can bring what movie I saw to the table, the fans
are
listening
why I
to
talk
us
about this,
are going
to
like really want to hear about it.
I think that people, if you appreciate film, mm-hmm. if you appreciate film with the way that it's shot and the beauty, Life of Pi is worth seeing in the theater in 3D. Now I didn't see it in 3D IMAX, but I saw it in regular 3D.
Oh, it's in 3D?
Dude, I'm gonna tell you. Blown away.
Yeah, you've already perked up my ears.
Blown away. Yeah. Like the story is good. It's
all I saw was a tiger in a boat with this kid. And boy, if it was me, man, either me or the tiger would have been overboard.
Well, that's kind of what it is. Like he kind of, I don't want to say he like tames it, but he builds a relationship with this tiger, but the tiger doesn't ever build a relationship with him. Like the tiger's name is Richard Parker because of a clerical error, but it's really good. Like I encourage people, it's not horror, but it's something you can take. I don't know if you can take kids to it so much because I think they'd be kind of bored, but it's well worth going and seeing. I'm telling you, if you appreciate film, Ang Lee was the guy behind it, the guy that did the original Hulk. And,
really?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, dude, imagery, unbelievable. I mean, completely blown away. Like, I sat there in awe. It was incredible. Incredible. Anyway, speaking of releases this past weekend.
I'm getting all choked up.
I know. Well, I am. The Collection hit theaters this weekend. It did.
Did anybody know?
Well, I want to talk about that for a second. So, the weekend box office comes out, and people are always talking about wanting original new horror. Now, The Collector was a new... They were trying to create a new guy, like a new...
Right, new horror icon.
Right, so they come out with it, and I really hadn't heard a ton about The Collection, but The Collection hits this weekend, and it literally finishes in 10th place with $3.4 million. Let me ask you this. Are the horror fans not making enough noise, or are they turning their back on original horror and going to see nothing but remakes? Because the remakes seem to be making a lot of money.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. What I don't know is, because I've been so tied up with my real job, what I don't know is, I didn't see much in the way of commercials for it.
Mm-hmm.
And movies seem to be commercial driven. You know, if you see enough commercials for it, you know, it builds the audience up, which I guess makes sense. So I didn't even realize that it had opened up this weekend until I think you had told me earlier. Chris Baer actually texted me yesterday, I believe it was. You know, that I guess he had seen it. I didn't know it was out. It's not something I would go see, I don't think. I don't know if I'd go to a theater to see it. I wasn't a really big fan of the first one, so, you know, it's not one that I would go out and see. I think what's going to happen, but again... We're talking remakes. I think the next big horror film in the theater is going to be Evil Dead. But, again, we're going to the remake route.
So let me ask you a question. So let's say that The Collection aimed itself at the diehard horror fans, and they spent a majority of their advertising budget online. Does that prove $3.4 million that online advertising does not work?
I don't think so, because if you look at going back to the Blair Witch release, that was probably the first movie I remember really having an online presence.
It went to great lengths, though.
Yeah.
And it was a different time where...
And Carrie seems to be doing that a bit.
Yeah.
And so Texas Chainsaw 3D or whatever it's called, they're doing like online things with that. But I've already seen commercials for it on television.
Yeah, I
just saw one last night, and I saw one
so
the night
I.
before.
Yeah.
And I don't really watch all that much TV. So I actually saw it last night when I was watching American Horror Story. So I don't think you can do anything successfully and just advertise online if you're looking at movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think you've got to. Like the days of Halloween coming out in theaters and you know, building an audience in Cleveland and building an audience in Philadelphia and building an audience in New York and St. Louis, you know, like week to week, those days are over. I mean, a movie comes out, you've got opening weekend, maybe you've got the second weekend, and, you know, by the third weekend, chances are it could be even out of the theaters.
Now, I have an example of that. Now, Hitchcock also expanded last week to 50 screens, and it pulled in only $406,000, which is only $8,000 per screen, which is kind of a bit of a failure, to be honest, when you have Anthony Hopkins on it.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's not a horror movie per se. It's the telling of the making of a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's something that belonged being released in a theater. I watched The Girl, the other one, Hitchcock story that we had talked about. I mean, to me, it was a much more... And I haven't seen this one, so I'm saying that without seeing it. To me, that was a much more interesting story because it got into what has always been talked about, like Tippi Hedren and Alfred Hitchcock, and then after she left Marnie, how he basically buried her career. And, you know, back then, the studios owned your contract, and you couldn't, you know, unless they released you, you couldn't work anywhere else. And if they didn't want to offer you anything, then, you know, your career was ended. I found that much more interesting. That was a made-for-HBO movie. I kind of think this Hitchcock thing probably should have been a made-for...
I have a philosophy on why they released it. If they release it in theaters, they're eligible for Academy Awards.
Yep, you're right.
So I would assume that they took the loss.
I mean, and, you know, the people that are attached to the film, you know, you've got Anthony Hopkins, you've got Helen Mirren. I mean, there's, you know, major... you know, star quality names, you know, attached to the, you know, to the film. So, you know, I could see how they were hoping to get, you know, some kind of, you know, award mention or nominations or something from that. I could definitely see that.
I mean, maybe they're taking the loss just thinking, you know, if we can get some awards out of it, the box office will be bigger on the DVD side.
Yep, or maybe they'll think they can release it again.
Right, I've seen that happen actually.
Yeah,
a few times.
Yeah, that happens quite often.
So you know, it'll make the post Academy Awards run.
Right,
and you know, who knows? I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it. So, hey, we're gonna take another break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about horror news and Walking Dead. And I'm telling you, we have some awesome horror news.
Awesome.
I have a story that is. It's crazy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman. It's really exciting. Soon, very soon, Batman and I will be batapulting right out of your TV sets and onto your theater screens.
That's right, Robin. Our first full-length motion picture feature in color opens a whole new world of thrills. The big screen gives us more space on land, sea, and in the air to challenge the most bataclysmic collection of super criminals that ever plotted to take over the world.
Number one, the Riddler. Question, who's going to make the feathers fly and knock Batman and Robin out of the sky? Number two, the Joker. Have you heard this one? It'll kill you, Batman. Number three, the Penguin. There are two eggs this wily bird is going to scramble. Batman and Robin. Number four, the Catwoman.
Oh, you're going to see the perfect crime when I get Batman in my claws.
And that's just a sample of the exciting exploits ahead in our first feature motion picture.
Holy memoranda, folks. Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Welcome back to Monster Mania Radio. This is Dave Hagen, the promoter of Monster Mania Con, sitting with Rob Dimension. And we're getting into horror news.
Horror news!
First thing I have up is I have some Stephen King news, actually in different segments. Stephen King news part one, Walking Dead and Super 8 actors are going to star in Stephen King's Mercy film. Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead and Super 8's Joel Courtney will star in Stephen King's adaptation Mercy. Inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, the short story Grandma was written by Stephen King for his 1985 short story anthology Skeleton Crew book that was out.
Nice.
It was previously adapted for the small screen as an episode of The New Twilight Zone, and it was adapted by Harlan Ellison, who's a famous science fiction writer. Basically, it follows the story of two young boys on a visit to the hospital where they learn their dying grandmother is a witch, and that her powers are ruled by a pact with the Ancient Ones. So Frances O'Connor is going to be playing the mother. Peter Cornwell is going to direct the horror thriller, and it's going to be released by Universal Pictures. I don't have a release date on that yet. That's part one of Stephen King news. Part two of Stephen King news is that his Under the Dome is coming to TV next summer. CBS is going to bring Stephen King's Under the Dome to life in 2013. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the network has given it a straight series order, which means it's not going to be released as a pilot,
right,
and then have to be considered. It's going straight to film. A screen adaptation of Under the Dome was originally kicked around in 2011, and at the time Showtime was going to air it. CBS instead has taken the reins, and they're going to air 13 episodes of it next summer. The site reports that Niels Arden Oplev is going to be the director. He was the person that directed the original The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He's going to direct the first episode. It's the story of a small town in Maine which is cut off from the rest of the world by an invisible dome. With air, food, and patients dwindling, society norms start to break down and all chaos occurs. I'm sure this is based on when they had the Hurricane Katrina, and people just went crazy. Like, they had taken everybody to the New Orleans Dome, the football stadium, and people just were like,
dude, I heard the story, crazy.
So, I mean, I'm sure that was the inspiration for the Stephen King book. So, it should be interesting what the series is going to bring.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you get the, I want Stephen King at Monster Mania?
We get it a lot.
What are the odds?
I've tried. Actually, I wrote to Stephen King back when he was finishing The Stand, and he actually replied. I used to write to Robert Block, who was the author of Psycho, and he used to reply in postcards. Stephen King did the same thing. I still have him. There's always that possibility. I hate to say this, but I kind of feel like I was a big fan of early Stephen King. I loved Salem's Lot. I did a, like we said last episode, I think, I did a book report on Salem's Lot and got told, you know, cover an author that people will know. I loved The Shining, the book, Carrie. Towards his later work, I've just not really been all that much of a fan of.
I encourage you to watch The Mist.
Oh, I love The Mist.
The Mist is really good.
That's
big
true.
Fan. Big fan. I don't. I mean, I hear so many people always asking about him. I don't know if he like. Plus, another thing is his movies are always Maine. You ever notice that?
Well, yeah, that's where he lives.
I know, but like, I mean.
Well, I kind of get that, and
because he's familiar with that area, do you
think?
Yeah.
Well, I think also, and I could be wrong because I don't read the more modern Stephen King so much, but I think at times. He has characters in his books they might have a minor role in one of his books and they might return in another one of his books, you know, like it's kind of, there was an author that I used to read, and the name's going to totally escape me. Charles L. Grant, that's who it is. And he wrote all his stories based in the same town. And I really, if you read his novels, it was, to me, it was a bonus because you got to know the town and you got to know all these different things, you know, these different people, different ways. So I kind of like that about it. And I like that Stephen King will do that, to be mm-hmm. honest. I just wish, I would love for him to go back to, I think his story started to get a little bit more wilder and wilder. And I kind of like, I'm a Twilight Zone fan. I like everything being normal except for one thing, mm-hmm. you know. The further from a reality type of thing you go, the more you lose me, the mm-hmm. quicker you lose me.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. I have an interesting story. So we all go a little crazy about The Walking Dead. This is not Walking Dead news yet. This is horror news. So apparently, a guy gets into an argument with his girlfriend about the zombie apocalypse. And she basically tells him it's dumb.
Well, apparently they were riding in the car, I believe. And they were getting into an argument about whether it could really happen or not.
Right.
And he was saying how the government could, you know, think. It sounded to me more like the Return of the Living Dead with the can of toxic, you know,
yeah. trioxin.
Gas or whatever, mm-hmm. trioxin, that turns everybody into a zombie. It sounded like he was buying into it a little bit more than she was. Mm-hmm.
So he decides he is going to get heated about it. They separate. He continues with the text message, you know, hey, it's really real, it can happen. She responds back probably with, you're dumb. So he gets more infuriated. So the text messages get so crazy that she decides she needs to go defuse the situation.
Well, let me tell you something. The text messages that he was sending turned into, I've got a gun and I'm going to shoot you with it. So the brilliant person that she is, she decides that after receiving that text message, me, I'm a wuss. I'm going to the police. I'm locking the door. I'm changing my locks. I'm turning the lights out. I'm hiding. Yogi's protecting me. You know what I mean? She, on the other hand, decides, I'm going to go drive back to my boyfriend's house, who is now threatening to shoot me over the potential of a zombie apocalypse, and goes to see him.
Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. He shot her in the back.
Yeah.
A single round into her back. As she bled on the floor.
With a .22 caliber rifle.
She pleaded for help. Now, she suffered a pierced lung, shattered rib, pierced diaphragm, and severe bleeding, remained in serious but stable condition. The bullet remains inside her as of late Monday. Now, today is Thursday, so I don't know if they got it out or not, but I saw this story, and I just
think he's going to see if she turned into a zombie.
I'm wondering. I when I read this story, it instantly perked up my interest. We've talked about the zombie apocalypse on the show. We've generalized the idea. I don't want this guy to like listen to the podcast, but we've both said it's kind of fake. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to incite a riot here, but we've
you know this happened not all that far from here.
So
this happened.
Oh, Nassau County.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this guy potentially comes to Monster Mania.
You know, we've even described that Max Brooks, the guy who wrote the book and teaches classes, is a genius for coming up with
now,
classes.
Now, I must clarify that if he should come to the convention,
yeah.
Rob Dimension, my partner here, is the one wearing the no clowning around shirt. Just in case you're trying to decide which one, you know, you got to take aim at, Rob Dimension is the one wearing the no clowning around shirt.
Here's what's crazy.
I personally totally believe that there could be a zombie apocalypse. It's probably happening right now. Don't shoot me.
I have read books. I've read comics. There was a comic book. Look, there was a comic book released called Zombies of Mass Destruction. It was a comic book series. I don't know how long it lasted, but it was a similar story where zombies were made by the government to be dropped in hot zones in war, and you know, they would kind of take care of it. So for this guy's sanity, the government could have turned
you're
it
afraid.
On.
You're afraid. You're turning
right,
me on.
I am. So what? So I just want to say, like, come on. There's bigger fish to fry than to argue and carry on about A, The Walking Dead, and B, the zombie apocalypse.
You think?
Oh, dude. Come on. I don't where do you even start?
My next door neighbor admonished me yesterday for not putting up Christmas lights. He said, show your holiday spirit.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Speaking of holiday spirit.
But you know what I'm going to do? I am going to show my holiday spirit. Halloween lights go up tomorrow.
Beautiful. Speaking of, last week, Dave gave me a gift. You gave me a black Christmas tree that was had orange lights on it. That tree is now proudly in my house. I said that I wasn't going to hang up a Christmas tree, and my wife admitted. I said to her, I said, let me ask you a question. Does it bother you that I don't have the Christmas spirit? Her response, a little bit. I was taken back. I was like, really? She said, a little bit. So I said to her, the black Christmas tree is not enough.
Oh, great. Now she's going to come here and shoot me.
She says, no, the black Christmas tree does not work. We need a green one and we need Christmas lights. Because the tree is like it's black with like a little bit of silver and it's got orange lights, which I think is awesome. It might stay up in my house all year round. I'm not even kidding. She's like, it's cute for like, because it's a 3-foot tree.
So yeah, it's only a bar, 3-foot tree.
But still, it's awesome. I guess now I have to, I'm gonna blame this guy. Because somehow that story got looped into what happened, and he's at fault for making my wife get a Christmas tree now.
Just remember, Rob Dimension's the one wearing the no clowning around shirt at the convention.
Oh, jeez.
I've got the Christmas spirit. I mean, I can't reveal. All I can say is that for some reason, every Christmas Eve, when I go down to my son's house, where all the grandkids, what our family does is all the grandkids go to my youngest son's house. He lives mutually in the middle of where my oldest son lives and where I live. So his is like the median meeting place. Every single year, I miss Santa Claus by just a couple minutes. I don't know why. Just I always miss him. I'm going to catch him this year, though.
With a net?
Maybe.
Nice. He's on Twitter, you know.
Is he?
Santa Claus is on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Dude, the Pope has got a Twitter now.
That's good.
Dude, when I heard that today, I was like, really? How great would it be if the Pope followed you on Twitter? I'm serious.
You know what, though? It's just people being paid. You know what I mean? It's not a Pope. It's probably a nun.
It's probably
down in the basement. You know what I mean?
It could be anybody, but yeah. It's usually assistants.
Yeah.
You know, but still, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. If I could say the Pope's follow me on Twitter,
you should ask him.
I might say, hey, how about a follow?
Yeah.
You know, just like every other moron that's out there that asks that. Hey, if you ask me that, I will block you. Onward to horror news. The closer we get to Christmas, the more angrier I get.
I see that.
What is with that?
Oh my God! Like you're going to become the next Silent Night, Deadly Night person. Are you going to like wear? And you come from a family where your father and grandfather were Santa Clauses.
Legit. And you know,
like, are they disappointed with you that you didn't continue the tradition?
My wife the other day asks me the same question.
Really?
We're driving and she says, "Do you think your dad's disappointed in you?" And I looked at her. I was like, now not knowing what direction. I said, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a long list of things. Anything like, you know, from 8th grade on was all nothing but a disappointment. And then she says, like, you know, because you didn't.
I have a reputation to live down to.
Yeah, right. She says, well, you know, your dad and my grandfather, where they were Santas in malls and stuff like that. And then they did house calls. And I mean, they did great things. They went to, like, you know, kids that couldn't leave their houses and they had illnesses and stuff. And I mean, if there's a heaven, they're going there. Me, mm-hmm. on the other hand, not. So they, you know, she asks, well, what about the suit? And I just said, look, I'm just not doing it. I'm just not. I'm not a Christmas guy. I don't know what happened.
Were you always that way? Or?
I don't know. Like I was thinking about the other day. I don't know. Like I don't know where it went wrong. I think what really went wrong, when you have kids, you enjoy Christmas because you're able to provide for your kids gifts. But I think what happens is it becomes so commercial that it just loses it. Like social media really opens it up because you see how much of a fake mess that it is. It's so commercialized.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that.
I mean, when I have grandkids, yeah, then it's going to be a different story. But
right.
My kids are old enough now. They don't want gifts. They just want money.
Well, see, that's what I'm at the point in my life where I now have grandkids. So the magic is back. You know what I mean? Like to go into the house after having just missed Santa Claus and see the kids all excited that, you know, that Santa Claus actually came to the house and they saw him and mm-hmm. he gave him gifts and stuff like that. You know, like that brought it all back for me. Mm-hmm. It was like once my kids got older, I mean, it's always fun to give. I like giving somebody something that they have no idea they're going to get and that is like the perfect gift for them. I mean, if you look around the table here, you can see.
I see.
You know, some of the gifts that I'm giving out, you know, this
looking
year.
For the warlock, the warlock mask.
Yeah, well, keep looking.
Any Michael Myers without a dog nose, I'm calling dibs.
But, I mean, I always enjoy doing that. I love going to the mall and just walking around and trying to just seeing what I see. And if I see something and trying to figure out who that would be the perfect gift for, a lot of times it's something that will just jump off the shelf at you. It's great having grandkids and seeing the little kids get excited about it. To me, you know, that's what Christmas is all about. So, you know, you don't have to search too hard for my present.
Okay.
A gift.
I brought you something today.
A gift. A box of Good and Plenty?
Dude, it's 2-in-1 gift. Makes a great musical instrument.
Oh, yeah, it does.
All right.
But you know what? I checked. They don't anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got it. It used to be the box ends were different. And you could, when you opened it, it had the four, it had openings on I guess, all four sides where you could actually make it a musical instrument. Mm-hmm. Because I tried it. After the last box you gave me, I tried it and it didn't do it. And I was really pissed.
I wonder, I can only imagine. I wish there was a camera to see how long you attempted that.
I looked at it and I saw that it was different. And I'm like, I know this isn't going to work, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Hey, for you comic book fans, Free Comic Book Day is the first Saturday in May. And it's always a fun time. It's a great way to support your local comic book store. And I just found out that The Walking Dead is going to have a special free comic. It's going to contain a short story about Tyrese, who is a fan favorite character who just made his television debut. And it also reprints short stories featuring Michonne, the Governor, and Morgan. And it's a must have for Walking Dead fans. None of these stories will be reprinted in the trade paperbacks. So there you have it.
Wow, really?
If anything, go to your local comic book shop and pick it up. Support them. I mean, it's...
Which is getting harder and harder to find.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you.
I don't have a local comic book shop anymore. I actually get mine in the mail.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was always fun walking into a comic book store. I mean, besides for the comics and all, I mean, they'd always have, you know, some kind of, you know, figure or statue or something that you hadn't seen before. And, you know, you got to talk to people about stuff. Sometimes, you know, judgmental people would be in the comic book store. Sometimes the most smug people are comic book store employees, you know? Like, if you buy something that they don't approve of, like, they don't feel any need to to contain their disapproval of your purchase. But
as they roll it and put it in the bag and give you plastic or cardboard.
But, I miss that experience. Mine come into mail, which is great. I mean, and I get them from my grandson.
I'll tell you what makes it hard for an independent comic book shop. What you miss by ordering them online is you never get to see the independent comics that you might take a chance on.
Exactly.
You know, so
because
I mean,
it's just
it's DC or
Like these 10 titles, and I don't even know that other things exist to be exposed to it to possibly buy it, you know?
Yeah.
I miss the old horror anthologies. I mean, you know, you can see, you know, I'm a fan of the original Tales from the Crypt comic book series and, you know, Vault of Horror, Creepy magazines, Eerie magazines, stuff like that. You know, I don't even know if there are comic books out there that are like that. I know they tried a Vincent Price comic that... I don't know, a couple years ago that was out on the stands.
I mean, you have a few independent comic book artists that are at Monster Mania.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Living Corpse guys, you have Buzz and Ken, who are great artists.
In fact, probably in a couple podcasts from now, we will have a very big announcement to make as far as comic books and Monster Mania.
Ooh.
So we're waiting to see. One of us is crossing some I's and dotting some T's, and about to launch something. So
awesome.
And it's not me. But we'll get more into that as we get closer.
Hey, guys, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name isn't Adam Wee. Or is it? Who am I? What number did you dial? Don't ever call here again. I guess I told him, nobody messes with Adam Wee.
Okay, guys, we're back for the fourth segment. Four segments.
Wow, today. Just can't get enough of that good stuff.
Yeah. You had a root canal today. I'm assuming that the pain medicine is blowing you over the top.
I wish it would.
All right, so...
Well, let me tell you, the dentist, not bad.
I'm assuming she's a girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Long blonde hair.
Nice.
I don't know what that says about me, you know, with the whole drill and the pain and being attracted to the dentist.
Forget it.
I was a little worried there for a minute, you know?
Forget it.
Hey, I was going to need more than one bib.
When I was at the movies this weekend, they had a trailer for Warm Bodies.
Ugh.
And the trailer actually played during The Walking Dead this week.
Yes.
So Warm Bodies is the story about the zombie apocalypse is happening and they're survivors. And one particular zombie falls in love with one of the hunters or one of the survivors. And it kind of escalates from there where
he saves her from a zombie attack.
Right. And he ends up becoming more of a human because of that. Like, he works his way back from zombieism to being as close to a human as he possibly can.
Like a born-again human.
Okay. Is that what someone described it as?
No, it's what I'm describing it as.
It's pretty good. So there was a little bit of backlash about the movie's trailer. A lot of people referring to it as the Twilight for zombies.
Honestly, I didn't know other people were doing that. When I saw that, I saw the trailer, the commercial on Walking Dead. It's the first thing I thought of. It's like,
really?
Yeah, like when it zoomed in on his heart beating, I'm like, oh my God.
I mean,
like,
there's corny stuff in it, but man, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's a different take on zombies. Like, I kind of welcome it.
Our boy Malcolm McDowell's in it, and I really like watching what he does. But I don't know, man. I saw the commercial for it, and I'm like, not a fan of it at all.
Now look, here's the thing. You have said countless times you would support something that was... You're tired of the same old zombie. You wanted something different. So they're giving you something different. That's not good enough?
No.
Really?
Something different? Different doesn't necessarily mean good.
I mean, I agree with that.
You know, I don't know. I just... A girl in love with a zombie.
I'm going to go give it a shot. It's a good date movie for me.
Yeah.
I can't get hurt. Well, I mean, I could. She could turn me down at the end of the night, my wife. But I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna give it a shot. It's something different. So I mean, look, I'll see it. If it stinks, I'm gonna be honest and tell you it stinks. If it's good, I'll tell you it's good. But again, that's just my opinion.
Is it in 3D?
Oh, dude, I can't imagine it being in 3D.
Never mind.
There's no
that.
Way. Like, if they're putting movies in 3D now, they have a trailer for the old Jurassic Park. It's been 20 years.
Wow.
And they've 3D'd it, but dude, it looks like I'm looking at it through a viewfinder. It looks weird.
Again, you know, I'll say it for the 200th time.
You are the aficionado.
Yeah, if I'm not watching a movie that was not shot in 3D,
mm-hmm.
I'm not watching it in 3D.
But don't you think they're making advances on how they're doing it?
No,
you really don't think so?
No.
This movie looked so weird compared to all the other 3D stuff that's out there.
It's night and day between shot in 3D and done in post.
Uh-huh.
Night and day. You know what I mean? It's the difference between a real pizza and a frozen pizza. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even close. And I'm not spending, you know, like my son said in the last episode, you know, he looks at 3D as just a way to get you to spend more money to go to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of agree with, because I mean, you're supposed to recycle the glasses at the end anyway, so what's the additional charge for? You know, but having said that, but if it's not originally shot in 3D, I mean, I think to his point, then it really is just a way to get you to spend more money.
And if people keep going to see these movies that are being re-released, they're being done like that, they're just going to continue.
Well, yeah, but what's happening is, people are being turned off by 3D because they don't see the difference between shot in 3D and done in post. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are done in post are giving people a bad opinion of 3D. Because it doesn't say, when you go to see a movie, it doesn't say this was shot in 3D or this was 3D'd in post.
You have to do some investigation.
You have to do some investigation. But for the, you know, for the average movie fan that might not take it that step, if they see, say they happen to choose three movies to see that are 3D, that were all done in post,
yeah,
their opinion of 3D is going to be not that good,
yeah,
compared to if they would have seen three movies that were shot in 3D.
Yeah.
So I think the ones done in post are really hurting. It's like colorizing a black and white movie. Like, mm-hmm, you ever see like when a movie's been colorized?
Night of Living Dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it should be shown the way it was shot.
Yeah.
Not, you know, otherwise, not altered.
All right. Hey, let's talk about The Walking Dead. Yeah, you like that music intro?
Yeah.
It's not bad. So this week was the mid-season finale, and I'm going to tell you, Dave, what a finale indeed.
It was a fine finale.
It was really good.
It was a fine finale,
it was really
friend.
Good. You know what? They had, like, maybe two episodes out of this first swing that I thought were kind of filler episodes. The rest were really, really good. And even,
yeah,
the filler
and
episodes,
even the filler episodes
were good.
Had plot points and things that happened in them that were really
influential,
you know,
in the series.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
And at the same time, they moved you from point A to point B,
right,
which is what they had to do.
Right.
You know, this episode, I was totally blown away. I mean, I thought this was action-wise and surprise-wise and everything else. I think this was, you know, at the top of the list, mm-hmm, of any episode in the series yet. Got a little bit... You know, I tweeted this when it happened. It's when, as soon as I saw Tyrese come on screen, I knew Oscar's time was limited. I don't know what's going on, but I tweeted that the next phone call that Rick's going to get is going to be from Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what's going on with that?
I don't know why they're rotating those characters so much like that of different color. It's weird.
It's almost...
I mean, it's noticeable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Can I say something else? I think, when's the last time you've seen this much of fandom for anything online?
Oh, online, never. Day after the show aired, water cooler kind of thing. Sopranos.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, there were
Sopranos, Lost, shows like that. I mean, this is...
I think Sopranos more than Lost.
This is a monumental show.
I think Lost wrapped up some people, but not nearly as many as Sopranos did, and not nearly as many as The Walking Dead does.
Yeah.
And I hear this from people all over the place, that when they go into work, you know, Monday morning, there are people at their jobs that watch The Walking Dead that they would have never expected to have watched the show.
So, yeah, I mean, my son is 12, and he said the same exact thing. He's like, oh, you'd be surprised, like, who comes out now as these horror fans that are talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He said it's crazy. He said he's having conversations with his teachers about the show. I mean, this is huge.
Yes.
Huge. So
this is what Batman was like in 66. Believe it or not. I mean it was campy and corny and all that kind of stuff, but just as The Walking Dead, although with The Walking Dead they did it gradually over time to the point that they're at now. When Batman came out in 66, it made a big splash, and it was the show everybody was talking about. Now it's The Walking Dead. Completely different, you know, styles of show and everything. But, you know, every so many years, something comes out that just, you know, really strikes a chord with, you know, viewership. Mm-hmm. And it goes to another level. And to the show's credit, it has kept the interest. You can't say that it's tailed off. You know,
I was just going to say, I've been following it since the beginning, even online and stuff. I've never seen a season ender, because I'll call it a season ender, even though it's mid-season, that had this much response. Like, to me, the bubble's just getting bigger. I mean, sure enough, sooner or later, it's going to pop. Let me ask you a question. Does taking the break have The Walking Dead lose steam, or have they built up enough where they're being smart, letting it cool down, and then there's interest again after the holidays, and it's a madhouse again? Like, because what happens with anything is there becomes like a peak, and then you need to go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So, have they figured out the method of reaching that peak, so they never go downhill, so that then they're continuing up that hill with a little bit of a two-month
layoff. I'll tell you, I mean, the way I look at it is I can't think of anything they've done wrong yet.
I know.
So, you know, like sometimes when you hear the movie's coming out and a certain actor has been cast in a certain role, and Michael Keaton, when the first Batman came out, when it was announced Michael Keaton was going to be Batman, people absolutely hated that idea. Yeah. They thought it was horrendous. And, I mean, to a lot of people, he's their favorite Batman from a movie. I just think that the Walking Dead group of people have earned the chance to, you know, do what they're doing and not be second-guessed until it's proven that something they've done has failed. To this point, they've taken a show that was based on a comic book and a black and white comic book. I mean, if you follow this through back to the origins, the chances of that, you know, first issue of The Walking Dead becoming this television show, I mean, if you were going to bet on this in Vegas, you couldn't get odds.
I mean,
no one would take it.
Limited run of like 5,000 issues.
Yeah. I mean, it's gone from a black and white comic book that no one really knew about to the most popular show on television, bar none. Yeah. I mean, it's the hot show this year, and it more even so than last year. And yeah. I thought last year it was the hot show. So they've done everything right thus far. I can't. I'll give them all the benefit of the doubt until something, you know,
happens that irritates me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so far, I the only thing I haven't liked was the last three episodes of season one. Everything else, the slow build of season two, I loved it. I liked the drama-based shows. And last season was getting you to appreciate these characters. So when you lost one, you'd be affected, just like the comic book. Because I think the comic book does that better than any other comic. When you lose a character in the comic book, you're heartbroken because that character's not there.
Well, and plus, you know, unlike other comic book stories, when you lose a person in a comic book of this series, you've lost them.
They don't come back.
You know, there is no, you know, return of Batgirl or whatever. You know what I mean? Like when somebody dies in this comic or when somebody dies in this television show, anyway, they're coming back as a zombie.
Yeah.
You know? It will help keep the interest in the show because just like in the comic book, and to the show's to the luck of the producers and everything, if they lose a character, they still won't lose the show. Like it's in another show, like say The Sopranos. If Tony Soprano got killed,
it's going to have a hard time filling its
right,
shoes.
Where with this show, it's called The Walking Dead because they're all on a time limit. You know what
right.
I mean? Whether it's, you know, self-inflicted or whether it's, you know, just nature. But these characters, over the course of time, are going to die. But this show can keep growing because they can keep adding new characters in, just like the comic book does. I mean, it's genius, man. My hat's off to them. I think they're doing a great job with it. I think they've, you know, pulled no punches with what they've done. And, you know, I give them all the credit in the world, and I can't wait for the second half of the season to start.
We'll talk about this for just a little bit about the actual episode itself. Big points for me were Michonne finding the governor's kid, killing the kid, and then Andrea finding out about how crazy the governor is.
Yeah.
You also have Daryl and Merle meeting up, not in a good way. The governor has kind of put them together in that fighting arena that they have. And I'm wondering, like,
gotta say, though, I was ticked that Oscar got shot. And we got him coming in March, but is his character dead? Is it official that he's dead?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think he was shot in the head, I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was shot in the side.
They did, but then they went back and finished the job.
And
I also liked, I liked the introduction of Tyrese. I think it's good timing. I think it's really good timing. I think that a new group, and I'm going to tell you, Carl is becoming an amazing... He went from the kid that was never in the house listening to his mom when he should have been to a leader.
Oh, yeah.
Where now he knew smart enough to shut them in.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew enough to help them. He's compassionate enough, but smart enough not to get wrapped up in it. Big fan, man. Big fan. I don't think kids would I don't think any kid would do that. Maybe.
I don't think any other show would write a story where a kid does that.
Yeah.
And much credit to Kirkman for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, like, that I always thought, you know, in movies and television and stuff, the kids were always portrayed as not being as smart and as shrewd as they were. And I can remember feeling offended as a kid when I saw, you know, a kid on television do something really stupid or whatever. You know, I applaud Kirkman for, I mean, I think he's really developing the character, and not too many people would put a kid in that role and write a script that would put a kid in that role. And, you know, again, you know, hats off to him for, you know, they keep pushing the boundaries on that show, you know, on many different levels. And I'm a big fan.
There was another picture the day after that people thought was a spoiler that had Norman Reedus hanging by his arms and his intestines hanging out, that people were saying, like, oh my God, they killed off a main character. And it's not. He's actually from another movie that he's doing in the meantime. So that's the Walking Dead news. That's your horror news. That's your Monster Mania news. Now, if you like and if you enjoy it, make sure you check us out each and every Friday at MonsterManiaRadio.net. Make sure you go to MonsterMania.net itself and check out the new guest listings all the time. Don't forget, Monster Mania is March 8th through the 10th in Cherry Hill, August 16th through the 18th in Cherry Hill again, and September 27th through the 29th in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Yep, and we are adding guests. Last Sunday it was, I think we added
probably five guests
yeah, within an hour. So when I get the, as I was adding Lee Merriweather to the list, I had gotten the email from Burt Ward saying he was in. So I mean, we add them as soon as I know that we're going to add them. And I can tell you that we're working on some people that I would be thrilled if I can tell you that we're going to announce them. You never know, that the business is funny. Sometimes people, you know, you get really good vibes about adding somebody, and at the last minute they decide that they're not going to do it. But we could possibly have a pretty good guest announcement for March next episode, but we'll see.
That'd be great. Hey, don't forget, we will be here next Friday, same Monster Mania time,
same Monster Mania channel.
Take care, guys. Have a good week.